Okay, welcome to Brightown Broadcast News for Monday, April 17th, 2023. Mike Adams here, and a reminder, this is the one episode each week that is audio only. The other episodes are normally filmed in the studio, and by the way, there's an exception to that this week because I'm going to miss a studio day because of, business meetings with that I'll tell you about later because it's pretty cool stuff that's going on. There will be at least one more day this week that it's audio only. Now, we do have a lot of headlines and breaking news to cover here, but I need to share with you actually some really inside baseball first that is, I think you deserve to know with full transparency, the process that I'm going through to create an ecosystem for you and others in this space to monetize your content on platforms like Brighteon.com and to have liquidity for that monetization. And you'll hear in a second why this matters and why also I'm pretty sure that everything that I've ever built will be obsolete. So let me just hold this discussion with you. So as you may know, for the last probably 2 years, we've been working on a tipping system for Brighteon.com so that content creators could receive tips that they could cash out for actual, fiat money. So we've actually built two systems because the first one, I trashed it. I looked at it and I said, oh my God, this sucks. Let's not use this. And that's sometimes what happens when you're in the platform development business. The second one we have is in final stages of testing, and we're about to deploy it. And it involves you or members of the public using a credit card to purchase tokens, although we call them chips, like poker chips. And then you donate chips to other people's content that you enjoy or people you want to give a tip to, like buy me a coffee. You give them chips, and then those content creators can take those chips and they can cash them out and they can receive payment, a check in the mail for fiat dollars. And that system, we've built it. It's all done. It's in final testing. And there's nothing special about it, really. It's okay. It's just that there's a huge accounting back end for that and all kinds of tax forms. You got to fill out a bunch of 1099s for all the U.S. citizens and, ask for people's social security numbers in order to be IRS compliant. And I hate that. I don't want to be an agent for the IRS, frankly. I mean, the government doesn't pay me a salary. Why should I do their work for them, This has been a frustrating part of this whole process. But that's what's necessary if you're going to issue checks to a lot of people, which in our case, it could be tens of thousands of people. And that would require us to be IRS compliant, or we get audited and shut down and have our accounts seized by the IRS, et cetera. I mean, we're living under a tyrannical system. And so they require you to play ball or you're toast. And so I've always had reservations about this whole system. I would rather not be in the business of, number one, holding other people's money. You notice I'm not in that business. I don't want to be in a position where, the banks fail or something, and I was sitting on other people's money, and then it's gone, and it's like, oh my gosh. No, thank you. I don't want to be in that position. I also don't want to be in a position where I send out 1,000 checks to 1,000 content creators, and then like five of them say, oh, it's 4 cents short, and then they go on Twitter and they complain, yeah, Brighteon ripped me off. It's 4 cents short, because I've seen that too. And it's like, what? 4 cents? Who? What? First of all, we wouldn't rip anybody off for 4 cents. Trust me. come on. You can't buy anything with 4 cents these days, obviously. Even a decent dinner, for two is like $100 now. If you notice the food inflation, it's out of control. But if you're dealing with money with people, you're going to get complaints. You're going to get mix-ups. Even, by the way, this last round of donations that we did, a couple of months ago, where we donated $100,000 to various publishers and content creators, And that was money that was handed to us by an amazing patriot, Gary Haven, in Texas, and he gave us the job of distributing it, which we did. Except, you know, some of the checks never got cashed, and then we have to track those down. It's like, did you get the check? Oh, it's the wrong address. I never checked my mailbox. You know, P.O. box is wrong. Blah blah blah. So there are problems, man. That when you're handing out money, even there are problems. It's hard to give money away without generating complaints. Did you know that? It's hard. So even as we're in the process of doing the final testing of this donation system, I have been digging into alternatives. And, you know, I've always been intrigued by technology, peer-to-peer decentralization technology. And in the space of finance, you know, that has to do with various, well, cryptos. Or I've had a lot of interest in gold and silver-backed cryptocurrencies. And I've done a lot of due diligence in this space, by the way, and I'm continuing to do so. I'm exploring a number of projects, and I did a deep dive into LODE, L-O-D-E, the gold and silver-backed crypto. And that's continuing to mature, and I hope that continues to grow. I probably need to get an update on that, but at the time that I looked at it, there were still some roadblocks. It wasn't quite ready. And I've been digging recently into a number of projects, and what has become clear to me, and by the way, I want to be clear and say this up front, I am not currently endorsing any crypto platform or any crypto coin or any certain technology or any brand or company. I am in a phase of trying to determine if there's something that will work better than the system that we already built, that we haven't yet deployed, but we're about to. Because, well, for the reasons I mentioned, I don't like our current system. I don't want to work for the IRS. I don't want to collect people's tax documents. I don't want to issue a bunch of checks. I would much rather have a token system, you know, a privacy coin, essentially, or some kind of, or a silver-backed privacy coin, or something that is digital, that's quick, that's low cost for transactions. I would love to integrate with a system that's easy for people to get into and get out of, which means, i.e., you know, buying it with fiat or selling it for fiat. I would love to have a system implemented across Brighteon and across all of our websites and projects and social media and so on, to create a parallel economy system where people can tip each other, they can trade, they can gift, they can buy, they can sell, and they can also use it at the Health Ranger store to buy physical goods. So if there were a really great system that existed out there for tipping, we would accept that token, that currency, whatever it is, we would accept it at the Health Ranger store. So for example, somebody who has a channel on Brighteon.com, they could post some cool videos and they could say, hey, support me, you know, give me a tip, give me some tips, or, you know, donations if you choose to. Users would donate something to them. They could take those credits or whatever they are, coins, tokens, credits, chips, they could take those over to healthrangerstore.com and they could use them as cash at the store, and they could get food and supplements and some of the other cool stuff that we're about to roll out. By the way, we have a major expansion of the product line coming into more physical goods, consumer goods, durable goods that you'll hear about this year. It's pretty fascinating. So that's my vision of what I want to see happen. And the most important thing is I don't want to hold anybody's money or wallets or tax documents. I don't want to be a custodian of other people's money, right? Because I'm about decentralization. I don't want to be a collector or a dispenser of money. I want other people to transact freely between each other, you know, libertarian style. And I'm pretty sure, because of some projects that I'm exploring and looking at, I'm pretty sure that this kind of system is getting very, very close. So I'm close to canceling for the second time my own in-house constructed tipping system technology, because I think it would be at this point, it might be a mistake to roll it out, and then it might be obsolete in 6 months because there's something better. So my responsibility as the platform founder and someone that you trust with discernment, my responsibility is to, number one, learn as much as I can about the available technologies. Number two, do a tremendous amount of due diligence to understand what works, what doesn't work, what are the risks, what are the benefits, to try to assess the capabilities of the people that are involved in various projects. Not that we're always 100% correct, but you know, you take your best guess off the information you have. And then thirdly, if I deploy such a system, to do it in a way that is widely available to lots of people, that is definitely decentralized, in a way that supports privacy, because I don't want your activities on Brighteon to end up being exposed on a blockchain like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a very public blockchain. There's no privacy on Bitcoin, right? So I wouldn't want to implement a Bitcoin system. There's no privacy. But what else is important? Well, it needs to be smooth. It needs to be easy to use. It needs to be something that can benefit a lot of people in a lot of ways. And frankly, I don't want to be in the middle of it, right? Like I said, I don't want to handle anybody's funds. So I just want to be clear with you. I'm looking at multiple projects right now. I have not endorsed any projects. I've not decided on any one project. And unfortunately, this has led me down a deep, deep rabbit hole of other tech, which I'll talk about here in a second, that is making me think that everything I've done is obsolete. So stand by for that. So on that subject, this whole, the entire structure of the way information is shared or broadcast across the internet right now is largely a centralization structure. You know, you have a website that hosts content such as Brighteon.com or let's say Twitter.com, and then that website stores the content, and then that website may have moderators that might moderate the content, or in the case of Twitter, censor the content. Because Twitter still censors Brighteon, by the way, and Substack. Remember, that's crazy. But in our case at Brighteon.com, we are moderating to remove, you know, illegal content, violent content, porn content, things like that. But this whole structure of centralization of content is, I think it's going to become obsolete. And the same thing with money, actually. I think that money is about to become decentralized. And I think that's going to happen because of the collapse of the current central bank focused and commercial bank applied fiat currency systems that are being pushed to the brink of self-destruction. And I believe that the globalists and the central banks of the world, I think they have miscalculated in thinking that they can convince everybody to move into their digital currency systems, central bank digital currencies, in other words, CBDCs. And I think they're wrong. I think they've miscalculated. I think, yeah, there will be a portion of people that will go into the CBDCs, i.e. the oblivious masses who mostly kept taking booster shots. You know, because the booster shots, they extract the correct amount of IQ points to make you dumb enough to use a digital currency wallet system run by a central bank anyway. Like the lobotomy goes hand in hand with the CBDC. But for those who still have their brains intact, they're going to look for an alternative system. And I think we're all going to use an alternative system at some point. And we should. And the reason for this should be self-evident, but obviously the digital wallet system of the central banks will, or whatever systems they are, even the global cryptocurrency system, what's called Unicoin, not unicorn, the flying magical horse with a horn. No, the Unicoin, like one world government coin, that's what that means, Unicoin. That's being put out there, I think, by, is it the IMF, I believe, in cahoots with the Bank of International Settlements. And they want one world government currency where they control everything. And of course, it would be tied to an ESG, environmental social governance score, or let's say environmental socialism government score. basically a social credit score system. So your wallet will be tied to your posts, your social media posts, your credit rating, how many times that you have expressed dissent against the vaccines, or if you said the election was rigged, or if you said that you don't like pedophiles or whatever. You're going to get penalized for all that. You won't be able to use your money. So anybody who doesn't want to be a global slave to the system is going to use, of course, or they will seek out some kind of alternative system. That kind of alternative system, in order to be viable, has to be a system that is not centralized by definition. Otherwise, the government would just shut it down or bomb the headquarters or whatever. So it has to be a decentralized peer-to-peer system that is essentially censorship proof or resistant, that can't be canceled. And what that means is effectively it has to be a trustless system. So there can't be, it can't be where you have to trust some central party in order for your transaction to go through, which is what the SWIFT system is. So the West abused the trust-based SWIFT system by cutting off Russia from SWIFT in order to punish Russia economically and to essentially steal or freeze $300 billion worth of Russia's dollar assets that were held in Western central banks. Have you noticed that as much as the governments of the world want to ban Bitcoin, they haven't been able to? You know why? Because it's decentralized. Because there's no Bitcoin Inc. There's no one server farm somewhere that controls all the transactions and has the master database. The database is distributed among all the nodes that run the blockchain. It's a consensus model. And that's even an early one. There are better models. Governments can't ban them unless they just destroy the whole power grid and take down the internet as a whole. But as long as, well, TCPIP functions, there will always be ways for people to have digital means of transacting, buying and selling and trading that are resistant against government censorship. Now, governments can interfere with the on-ramps and the off-ramps. They can tell, Binance or Coinbase, how dare you? You can't let people buy Bitcoin with dollars, let's say. They could declare that. But then people could just go somewhere else and do it, like Singapore or, the Cayman Islands or whatever, just with a VPN and a credit card. They could buy it somewhere else, you see? So this is why the Treasury and the Federal Reserve and the globalists are all freaking out over crypto, because they can't control it. And it's becoming a real threat to their monopolistic control over all transactions. Now add to this the absolute certainty that the fiat currencies currently in circulation in the West, i.e. the dollar, the euro, the yen, they will all go to zero value. Why? Because they're printing them into oblivion, and they will not stop. In fact, the Fed has been breaking so many things by raising interest rates that it's only a matter of time before they pivot and they go back into quantitative easing, which is massive money printing, essentially. We are going to see inflation for years, if the dollar even lasts that long. We're going to see massive inflation, and we're going to see massive devaluation of the dollar, which, of course, those two things are just the inverse perspective of the same phenomenon, which is dollars losing value and goods being priced in higher and higher numbers of those dollars. So as this happens, more and more people are going to be looking for off-ramps out of the fiat currency systems. And we've talked about what those off-ramps are, things that maybe hold value, right? Things that hold value, gold and silver and land and ammunition and whatever, diesel fuel, firearms and stored food and emergency medicine, whatever. But it's hard to trade those with people that you aren't seeing face to face. It's hard to, ship 1/10 of an ounce of silver to somebody as a tip or something, or even 1 ounce, a bigger tip. And that's why a tokenization makes so much sense in a world where people are interconnected from a vast array of different physical spaces, different cities, different countries around the world, even speaking different languages. But the way I see this happening is that as, and we kind of saw this in Venezuela, by the way, early on, years ago, as the Venezuelan currency was really losing value, a lot of people went into Bitcoin in Venezuela. And it turned out that was a very smart move because the Bitcoin held value for them, where the local fiat currency lost value. And frankly, there are many families that escaped Venezuela and were able to restart and reboot their lives when they got to some other country. You know, sometimes that country was just, let's say, Bolivia or Brazil, or sometimes it was the USA or wherever, but they were able to tap into their Bitcoin resources. So Bitcoin actually served a very utilitarian purpose for those families and refugees to be able to escape a tyrannical regime with a collapsing fiat currency. Cryptocurrency gave them an off-ramp, an exit, and a way to restart. I mean, that's a very real use case that, frankly, a lot of us may be facing at some point. I'm not sure how bad things are going to get in the United States, but it's headed in the direction of Venezuela. Frankly, that's where it's going if we don't turn it around. So then beyond finance, you realize that everything, almost everything, can benefit from decentralization, which includes content distribution. So videos, right? A video website like Brighteon.com or Rumble.com, ultimately, both will be obsolete. Why? Well, because there will be so much censorship attempted by the regime. And by the way, the head of the FDA right now is saying that it's an emergency. They have to stop all misinformation because people are dying, he says, because of misinformation, which of course just means anybody expressing skepticism about vaccine safety or pharmaceuticals or chemotherapy, right? The FDA says, oh, it's costing lives. So they're trying to sound the red alarm and to say they have to crack down on misinformation, which is just a code word for anything they want to censor. But this is what they're going to try to do in America in a very aggressive way. They're going to try to go after all centralized content providers or publishers, which of course would include us and anybody else in alternative media. As a result, there will be a very strong need and strong utility for decentralization of content distribution and publishing power, including video sites, social media type of sites, or text messaging, you know, different kinds of protocols for email, things like that. Decentralization is going to be the key. And there are technologies that are up and coming that function in this way, which provide essentially trustless peer-to-peer connections, handshaking to distribute information on a one-to-many basis. So I believe that the very structure of Brighteon.com or Rumble.com or even Twitter.com, the very structure will be obsolete in a few years. That is among informed people. I mean, yeah, there will always be the oblivious people who want to use Facebook, and they don't think the government's spying on them, and they think the vaccines are safe and effective, and they think the dollar holds value, and You know, there'll always be those people, although their numbers will diminish in an accelerated fashion as they keep taking jabs. But for those who are actually intelligent, informed, aware, alive, you know, awake but not woke, for us, there will be alternative systems that are impossible for centralized authorities to censor. And these systems, I believe, will form the foundation of quite literally the next civilization that rises up in the ashes, or from the ashes, of the collapse of this current civilization that we know and hate. We don't love it. We hate it. This current civilization, which is one built on tyranny, monopolism, disinformation from the government, censorship, fascism, tyranny, mass murder, colonialism, corporatism, you know, every horrible thing that you can imagine, and pedophilia and grooming on top of that, that's what characterizes this current satanic civilization that is on a collision course with mass suicide, frankly. It's killing itself. Out of the ashes of that civilization, we must not make the mistake of rebuilding the same kind of system that eventually leads to centralization of power, corruption, and collapse. We have to think differently. We have to be the Thomas Jeffersons of our time, the George Washingtons of our time, we have to think about a completely different topography of how society is structured, how power is shared, how commerce takes place, how information is distributed. And that answer, I believe, is becoming apparent. It is decentralization. It is using technology for freedom instead of enslavement. So yeah, while all this tech is used by governments to spy on people and to achieve surveillance, this same tech can be turned around and it can be used, for example, using asymmetric encryption protocols to achieve privacy, to achieve censorship resistance, and so on, to achieve freedom and liberty. And those are the choices that we will get to make, that we will have to make, as this current society collapses and implodes and the dollar goes to zero, which it will. That is a 100% fact. You can count on it. The dollar will go to zero, or technically a bunch of zeros after a decimal point. Okay, so it might be 0.00000001. Okay, but that's a lot of zeros. The dollar is going to a lot of zeros after the decimal point. You can be sure of that. You know, at the same token, one day you will be a billionaire because there'll be a billion-dollar bill. It's just like hyperinflation, Weimar Germany, and you know, Zimbabwe, and wherever. There'll be a billion-dollar bill, and you'll have some of those in your wallet because you need to buy, you know, a sandwich or something. So yeah, you're all going to be billionaires. Isn't that amazing? But of course, whatever money you had will be almost worthless at that time. So the very structure of what we do at Natural News and Brighteon, the very structure of what I do, which is to provide information to lots of people, the structure that we're currently using is about to become obsolete. And in order for us to survive, we need to adapt and radically transform our technology into a decentralized structure, but at a pace that everybody else can use. It has to be easy. It has to be, you know, readily available to all the same people. And this is the challenge, but this is what I'm working on. I'm sorry it took me half an hour to explain all this, but I have, throughout my entire career, I have been at the forefront of seeing tech years before it came to fruition. I'm not saying that I mean, other people saw this way before I did, but even back in the 1990s, you know, I started an email technology company before most people even knew what email was. And I publicly called the dot-com crash starting in late 1998, you know, a few years before it actually happened. I've always been perhaps too far ahead of the curve. So maybe what I'm talking about here is something that's going to take 5 to 10 years to come to fruition. Maybe the dollar holds out for a few more years. Maybe peer-to-peer technology takes longer to get easier to use. I don't know. It's possible. I'm just saying that I know where this is going. And I know that all the systems that we have right now that you enjoy, if you're listening to this, if you're posting your own videos, if you're reading our articles, if you're using Brighteon.social, I know that all this technology is about to become obsolete in the next decade, as it should. And I'm going to do my best to transition us into peer-to-peer centralization-resistant technologies. Oh, and by the way, you want to know how far ahead I was on this? If you go back to the year 2012, I think it was, or it was either 2012 or 2013, I was on the Alex Jones Show talking about this very thing. So over a decade ago, I was talking about how we needed to build a peer-to-peer decentralized video distribution website system. The problem was the tech didn't exist at that time to really make it work. I mean, those are the early days of Bitcoin, very early days of Bitcoin. But I could see that Bitcoin was a model of decentralization that was going to affect other areas of content, because content is a kind of currency, you could even say. And so is your attention. Your attention is a kind of currency. There's value in your attention and there's value in content. And when a person expends a chunk of attention, i.e. time and conscious focus, to ingest a piece of content, believe it or not, there is actually a tokenizable transaction of value that has just taken place there. There's a trade that has taken place. You've traded your focus for content. And that kind of trade is something that the government wants to restrict and control and censor. Whereas asymmetric encryption technologies can actually set us free to voluntarily engage in the transactions that we wish to engage in, and also to reject the ones that we don't want to waste time with. So the tech is catching up with the reality of what I think the future will be for information and currency, money. In fact, my greatest concern in all of this is that this tech isn't ready quickly enough to be there when the collapse accelerates, because the collapse of the Western financial system may be so sudden and it may be so close. We don't know for sure. And I like the way John Rubino talks about this. You know, he never gives a date on purpose, but he says these things can snowball very quickly. Things can shift overnight. And I've listened to a lot of financial experts who are assessing the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. And they pretty much all agree that that collapse materialized in about 72 hours because of the pace, or I should say the speed of the ability to communicate with each other digitally. Whereas bank runs, let's say in the 1980s or 1990s, before a lot of people had mobile phones, or even before the internet in the 1980s, you know, bank runs would take a long time to happen because people would have to go into the lobby and get in line and take money out. You know, it was a physical process. There were a lot of obstacles. You had to find parking, for example, to get into the bank. And the bank could just close its doors. Holiday, you know, bank holiday. Today, now, everybody's got a phone, and that phone has a wallet, and that wallet is electronic, and everybody can just get a message from somebody like Peter Thiel, right? Peter Thiel says, sell everything now, which he did, by the way. And then everybody's like, what? And they pick up their phone, like, bleep, bleep, sell, you know? And all of a sudden, you've got $40 billion in withdrawals in 24 hours, which also happened. These are not fictitious accounts here. This is history that already happened. So now the pace at which things are happening is rapidly accelerating, which means that the downfall of the leveraged financial system is going to happen much more quickly than you could have possibly imagined. In fact, I dare say, the fractional reserve structure of the current banking system is incompatible with the fact that people are so hyper connected and that information moves at the speed of the internet, which is very, very fast. You know, the very structure of fractional reserve banking is based on the assumption that most of the time, most of the people don't want their money back. And thus the fractional reserve requirements, which used to be 10%, but then they were lowered to more like 5%. And then during COVID, they were lowered to 0%. You don't need anything. Just keep making loans, you know, make more money, create money out of nothing. This has set up the system for a series of cascading collapses that have only just begun. What you saw with Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank, this is just the beginning, folks. Just the beginning. The entire system is incompatible with the hyper-connectivity of the individual depositors. And what's the Federal Reserve's answer to this? Oh, print more money. Just print more money. That's it. That's their plan. And as they keep printing more and more money to bail out more and more banks, and by the way, there's about a $1 trillion plus commercial real estate debt bomb that's going to explode over the next 24 months. You know, it's going to bring down a lot of banks because commercial real estate has just, it, you know, the value of it. And what's the value of commercial real estate when people don't even go to work anymore? You know, in a lot of places, it's gone down 30, 40%. That's just the beginning. So a lot of banks are going to fail as commercial real estate implodes, which has already begun. And what's the central bank going to do is just print more money. They're going to keep printing and printing and printing. And we're going to have hyperinflation of consumer goods devaluation of the currency like never before, and it's going to end suddenly. You know how they say, I lost all my money slowly and then all at once? And that's what's going to happen to the Western financial system. There'll be a day where it's like panic time, and the panic will spread faster than any panic has ever spread before in the history of money, because this is the time of hyperconnectivity. So the panic's going to go insane. This is why you have people in the government say, oh, we have to limit people's speech about bank runs. You know, let's call them financial terrorists, because you can't have people spreading fear about banks. It might cause a bank run. No, it's your lack of reserves that causes it. It's your money printing causing the problem, but they never see that. They got to blame the citizen. But as fiat is collapsing during this time, people are going to be looking for off-ramps in ways that will be mind-blowing. They're going to be panicked buying of not just gold and silver, but crypto too. In fact, let me lay out an official prediction here. Whatever day this is, let's call this the day of reckoning. Now, I don't know what calendar day this is. It might happen this summer, might happen next year, might take a couple of years. This might happen in 2025. I'm not sure. But whatever day this is, on the day of reckoning, as banks just start failing in a cascading domino effect type of manner, you're going to see a panic to get out of the banks that makes this most recent panic look like nothing. I mean, don't forget, we've seen, what, $220+ billion of withdrawals out of the U.S. banking system since the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, something like that. It might be a higher number by now. Let's call it a quarter of $1 trillion. How about that? $250 billion. Something in that range has been withdrawn from banks. And a lot of that was out of fear that the banks were going to collapse, which is not an irrational fear. That's a perfectly rational fear. I'm here to say my prediction is that's nothing compared to what's going to happen on the day of reckoning. We'll call that our day, I guess, reckoning day, whatever day that is. On our day, my prediction is Bitcoin will explode in price, and so will every kind of crypto. My prediction is gold and silver will explode in price, and that they will become unobtainium. You won't be able to get a supply at all. You know, the very first few people who call up the gold retailers, and those retailers happen to be sitting on a certain amount of physical inventory right there, like, yeah, those are the lucky ones. They'll get their physical silver and gold. The rest, oh, it's a 1 month wait time, and then, oh, it's a 90-day wait time, and then, oh, sorry, it's all allocated for the calendar year. And that's going to happen, is my prediction. And then at the same time, crypto is going to explode during this day, not to say that the price might not, you know, fall again. It might spike up for a few days and then settle back down. It could be very volatile. So I'm not saying that you should speculate in crypto on this day. What I'm saying is that people will be desperate for off-ramps in any way that they can find one, because the fiat currency is collapsing and it's becoming obvious to everybody, and fear is spreading through the system. So whatever day that is, it would be good to have already made your moves before that day, is all I'm saying. Now, there's a video that I don't think I'm actually going to show it to you, but it's a video of a violent mob robbing a gas station in Compton. And it's like every other violent mob video you've seen. It's just the most recent one. And there was crazy violent mobs in Chicago over the weekend, you know, a bunch of Chicago youth out there shooting guns and, I don't know, having fights in the streets. And I saw videos from 6th Street in Austin, Texas, of a bunch of crazed mobs. And man, these videos, you know what they all have in common? Is that the youth have no regard for the rule of law. Whoever you see in these mob videos, they do not think that they are supposed to obey any laws whatsoever. They have no respect for society, no respect for the retailers that they're looting, no respect for police, no respect for anything. They are a different mentality from you and I, because, you know, we grew up in a time when we respected the rule of law. You didn't just go smash in a building and go in and loot someplace because you could. That would be wrong. But today, the youth there, they don't think that anything's wrong. They think that, oh, it's theirs to go get. So they have flash mob looting of everything, groceries, luxury handbags, you know, snack chips at a gas station. They're looting snack chips. I mean, how desperate do you have to be? It's like, what'd you get? Got some Cheetos, man. Got some Cheetos. Really? You put your life on the line looting for a bag of Cheetos? You're some desperate mofo right there, man. And frankly, if you would interview these people, because this kind of looting and chaos is getting worse across U.S. cities. If you were to interview these people, they would have pretty much the same answer. Be like, I ain't got nothing to lose, man. You know, they don't. This is what Gerald Celente talks about. When people lose everything, they lose it. Remember that quote from Celente? When people lose everything, they lose it. And they have nothing left to lose. What do you think is going to happen on the day of reckoning, our day? How many people are going to lose it on that day? You're going to have, the cities will be utter chaos. The looting will extend outward into the suburbs. And you know that Walmart is shutting down stores in these Democrat cities, and so our grocery chains are shutting down stores. Who else just shut down a bunch of... Wherever you go, like Target and Best Buy and whoever, they're shutting down stores in these cities. Why? Because they know the looting that's coming is going to just wipe them out. Wasn't it Walmart shut down all their stores in Portland now? There's not a single Walmart in Portland. Is that the right city? I think that's what we reported. But you can't blame them. You can't blame them. Lawlessness will become, I mean, it will spread to every major city across America. That's what's going to happen as the financial system collapses, and the collapse is accelerating, as you're seeing in food prices. In fact, here's a story from the UK Daily Mail. Major retailers in the US have been forced to shut down shops due to millions of dollars in losses. In 2021, companies lost $94.5 billion to what's called shrink, which is theft, basically. Mostly just shoplifting. Major retailers forced to shut down. Walmart announced it's going to shut down four of its stores in Chicago just weeks after it shuttered its only remaining stores in Portland. So yeah, that was Walmart. It comes as shoplifting reaches alarming levels, and other large retailers, including Target, Macy's, and Best Buy, they're now making good on threats to shutter outlets if petty crime is not lowered. Yeah, and of course, petty crime will not be lowered because the Democrats run those cities into the ground and they defund the police. The story goes on. It says progressive district attorneys in cities like Chicago, New York, Portland, and California have also been blamed for effectively legalizing shoplifting, with either not prosecuting thefts under $950 or letting criminals off with a slap on the wrist. So the Daily Mail has come up with a list. They're talking about Walmart closing all these stores, Target. They've lost $600 million. Well, they're expected to have $600 million lost by the end of the year just in shoplifting. Walgreens is closing stores, including, looks like in San Francisco. Macy's closing down stores. What is this? Best Buy. Yeah, can't even sell computers in these, you know, left-wing cities. Bed Bath & Beyond. They once owned 1,500 stores across America. It's going to close 416 stores, man. Woo! That's Bed Bath and Beyond insane. But that's what's happening across America because the financial implosion is accelerating. And so off-ramps are going to become very, very valuable for people. In fact, I'm going to wrap this up here, but I'd like you to study what happened in Venezuela? What happened in Argentina? You know, study hyperinflationary events that, frankly, didn't happen that long ago. Just go back 50 years. You can find quite a few across the world. Study those events, and what you'll find is that as people catch on to the devaluation of the currency, they start to panic to spend their money as quickly as possible in order to convert the fiat into physical goods, such as buying food, for example. Or, you know, toilet paper, medical supplies, whatever, things that they can use, you know, tennis shoes, dog food, whatever. And then the government economists think that everything's great because, wow, look at the velocity of money, you know? Look, money's moving so rapidly through the economy. That's a great sign. The recovery's finally here. That's what they always say, you know, because they're economic idiots. These are the magical monetary theory morons, MMTM. And look, money velocity is awesome. But what's actually happening is people are just trying to get rid of it as quickly as possible. And so those who buy early effectively get a massive discount because, you know, a day later, that roll of toilet paper might be double the price. You know, in extreme cases of hyperinflation, prices change every hour, not just every day. So where do you want to be in terms of your assets when that's happening? Oh, you want to be in gold or silver or land, or you want to be sitting on physical food, or you want to be in maybe something more liquid like crypto, you know, as an escape plan, right? What if you become a refugee and you have to escape Los Angeles like Kurt Russell did, or escape from New York, and you know, you want to take your Bitcoin with you or something. And I've said before, you know, with a lot of these crypto wallets, you can just memorize a 20-phrase seed, which is essentially a password to restore that wallet on any system. You don't even need to bring a computer with you. You don't even need a thumb drive with you. Your password is your wallet, and you can memorize that password. And I've even mentioned before, a simple way to do that is to make up a story that uses all the words in your password. So if your seed phrase is like, you know, flowers and tigers and, I don't know, waterfalls or whatever, you just make up a story and you tell the story and you visualize it. You know, this is a mnemonic method. You know, I came across a flower-eating tiger, so I threw him down the waterfall. You know, you go through, you make a story, and that's how you can memorize your seed phrase. And you can visualize it and you make it absurd and funny and makes it easy to remember, by the way. You make it crazy. This is just an old memory technique, you know. You have to visualize crazy stuff. Like if your password is flowers and tigers and waterfall, you know, you make it absurd. Like, I came across a tiger? Yeah. I came across a tiger that was crapping flowers. And and it was standing on top of a waterfall. And it was actually crapping flowers into the waterfall or whatever. You come up with something crazy, absurd, and funny, and that's how you memorize your words. And then you can be a refugee. You can leave. You can even go through the Darien Gap like Michael Yon is covering here. As long as you have your password in your head, you have some way to recover funds, you see. Hard to take gold with you, but it's much easier to take something that only exists in your head that you can restore later once you have access to a computer or something. And if you think that memorizing a 20-seed password is difficult, it's much easier than hiding gold nuggets in condoms and swallowing them and then retrieving them later, by the way, which is the other way that you can smuggle gold out of a country, which has a risk of death if that condom doesn't make it through your digestive tract correctly. If it gets stuck, which happens, this happens to drug smugglers, you know, drug mules. They swallow bags, little baggies, I guess they're, I don't know, special condoms or something of heroin, right? And every once in a while, one of those heroin bags bursts, and that's all she wrote. Not a good way to do it. Memorizing a 20-word seed phrase is way easier than that. Anyway, just some things to think about. But stay tuned to this podcast. I will do my absolute best to keep you informed on the maneuvers that are necessary to navigate the collapse and the chaos that has already begun. I'll give you my best assessment of it. You can agree or disagree. You can use it or reject it. It's all cool. I'm going to share the best information I have with you, and I'm going to continue to do a lot of research and interviews and due diligence and apply the best thinking that I can possibly muster to sharing with you how to be safe from all of this. In the meantime, don't forget our own gold and silver sponsor, the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. If gold and silver are right for you, or whatever amount you believe is correct for you, if you want to take a look at this, just go to metalswithmike.com. We don't earn any affiliate fees on gold and silver purchases, by the way. And I've seen some YouTube people thinking that gold is going to go down sharply for whatever reason. And they think the buying opportunity will come later. I've seen other people saying they think it's going to go up. I'm not trying to ride up and down on gold and volatility. What I know is that when I buy silver, I have a stack of silver. Every day I wake up, it's all still there. Ounces don't vanish. And so I measure it in ounces, not in dollars. Dollars go up and down. Fiat currency will go to zero. Silver will stay silver. You can rest assured that for as long as you live, in fact, for many billions of years thereafter, silver will still be silver until, I suppose, the sun explodes or a black hole sweeps through the solar system and turns the silver into, well, what? What would it turn it into? Like compressed, super compressed hydrogen, maybe? Is that just rip all the electrons off the silver atoms? Like, if you're still around when that happens, you have other problems way beyond the financial system, let me tell you. So for as long as we are going to be here in this realm, gold and silver will stay gold and silver. And ounces will not simply vanish into thin air. So check it out, metalswithmike.com. And if you want food that keeps our physical bodies going for as long as we're here, however long that may be or however short that may be, healthrangerstore.com will keep you nourished with clean food, laboratory tested, certified organic, number 10 cans that are really great for long-term food storage, and we have freeze-dried fruits and all kinds of things. Superfoods and personal care products, healthrangerstore.com. I'll be back with you tomorrow from the studio with some guests, and it should be a really interesting, a very interesting show. I'll just put it that way. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.